live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Howdy, howdy, everyone. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. You're on Revolution Radio. This is Studio A. This is LB Bork, host of this presentation. Hope everyone's doing well today. It is October 2nd already. Lots to talk about today. I got my panel with me today. Mike Gaddy, John Breeson, and Dave Scorpio. How are you guys doing today? Mike first, why don't you say hi?
Hello, doing great.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, I was on with John last night. How are you doing this morning, John?
Doing well, Mr. Bork. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Dare to Think Out Loud. I apologize. I had myself muted. But yes, you were on my channel. We read the documents and we discussed rule of law versus law and order. And which one is constitutional.
Yep, last night. I re-listened to it and I was a little off last night. It was late and I was tired. And geez, just under the weather today. I guess everyone's feeling a little odd these days. Because of what's going on with this nonsense, as we know, is the coronavirus. We're going to be talking about that today a little bit. Dave, how are you today?
Mr. LB Bork, hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. A little tired and disgusted. People are acting very strange. You know, there's hints of this vaccine they have coming out for this virus having artificial intelligence in it, but we don't know that to be a fact, and we'll talk a little bit about that today, I guess. And I guess Mike has found some.
LB, one thing's for sure, we have no idea what's going to be in that witch's brew.
Yeah, it is. And anyway, yeah, Mike, you found some good information I want to get into, but I wanted to play something first. But maybe you can brief the people on what you found, rather, in regards to this, concoction they put together as far as the COVID goes. You said you found something. Want to brief us on that?
I don't want to get too deep into it until you play this thing you have. But
right.
I have believed for years is the government, the powers that be behind the government, and I'm not talking about the president or most of the other people, but the powers that be, the people who own this government, the people who bought this government, have been planning for events like this pandemic for decades. And researching through some various documents and what have you, I found where one of those plans was implemented back about 15 or so years ago. And I think it's very illustrative of what we're dealing with when we get into that. So I'll hold on with the rest of it until later.
Okay. I'm still trying to cue this up. This is an interview with David Martin. He's out in California. I contacted him a while back, and he said he was putting a good team together in regard to exposing what you basically kind of laid out. He did a lot of work on it, and he's got ideas. And this segment's going to be about 20 minutes long. It'll take us almost into the break. But I think it's important to play it because, like I heard him say, that we have the right to abolish this government. And that's where I'm at. But, of course, people have to know about what's going on in regards to, you know, being the truth. And anyway, this is an interview he did with a woman named Miss Selman, and she's in North Dakota, I believe. But anyway, we'll get into this. And like I said, it's about 20 minutes long, so stay tuned. We'll be back with you in a few minutes after we get done with this.
Yay. Have conspired with industry to harm America. And that is the truth, and that is what needs to be spoken.
And so is the National Institute of Health. They're also part of this.
Well, at the end of conspiracy. The day, all roads lead up through this wonderful Department of Health and Human Services, where any pretend, you know, kind of fig leaf of independence, whether it's the National Science Academy, whether it's or National Academy of Sciences, whether it's National Institutes of Health, whether it's the Department of Health and Human Services, they are all in this together. And at the end of the day, who writes the check? And by the way, it bleeds over to the DOD because DARPA has its triple P program, which is actually using all of the same players, but using black budgets coming out of DARPA and the Department of Defense to fund things, which are all done in the name of the warfighter. But as I said in yesterday's video, for those of you who haven't seen my YouTube video, Butterfly of the Week, this past one, the one I shot on the 25th of May, that in that video, I talk about the fact that under the emergency use authorization that the FDA has, the DOD has an absolute waiver of any liability on any active military member to do any trial they want to do with no informed consent, with no limitations, and with no liability. So this whole thing is just a license for industry to run amok, and all done so under the authorization of a law that has to be changed. And every citizen has to make sure that no elected official gets to go to Washington or gets to go to a state house without addressing this.
Well, okay, so I have some big questions. What you're saying, I want to just hold that because I have one other thing just on the COVID, and then we're talking about the bigger consequence of what's happening to the world. It's not just our country, because CDC is kind of taken as the law in countries all over the world. They follow whatever the CDC says. So the University of North Carolina began this research on making this novel coronavirus, which now is, it's pretty, you can say it was created, right? It was created. But they have a relationship with...
You're right. It at least was manipulated. Right.
Right. So they have funded and have a relationship with this Wuhan biohazard for lab. So they're working together. Yeah. We're blaming China for the release of this virus, but in actual fact, what's going on? Who's really behind this? Because obviously, it is. I mean, is China in the U.S. or are there parties in China and parties here that are in collusion together? Because it seems to me you can no longer blame this lab for the release of something which was funded and started here.
Well, and I am very careful to remind people that a long time ago, the headlines and reality don't match. I mean, you look at something that is as self-evidently in error as the fact that we, in September of 2019, had all of the individuals involved get together. And for the World Health Organization, all these individuals said we need to have a respiratory pandemic exercise. That's in September. In October, they have Event 201 where they lay out the protocol for how they're going to deal with a coronavirus outbreak. And somehow we're supposed to be gullible enough to believe that nature on its own just backed itself into a story of human creation. Now, I know there are people who would love to be the architects and little gods running around creating the platform upon which nature acts. But I'm not gullible enough to believe that conspiracy. I actually think that if you have the only places on the planet that were expressly working together on a chimeric variant of coronavirus, the only place on the planet where that was happening happens to be where the nature outbreak happens. You know, the statistical improbability of that happening is non-calculable. So there has been, in my argument, and I wrote about this several months ago, there's a very interesting thing. If you look at where the alleged outbreaks happen, Northern Italy, New York, Seattle area, the Wuhan area, interestingly enough, bats with coronavirus are prevalent in every single place that we saw an alleged outbreak. And I want to just make something very clear to every listener that you have. This problem of calling it an outbreak is a problem where the CDC and the World Health Organization and every other country is conflating testing for something and the existence of something. If I were to say today that I am going to test for calories in food, and before today, no one ever tested for calories in food, just because I'm testing doesn't mean calories didn't exist before. It just means I'm now testing for them. The same is the case for coronavirus. We have no information, but we have an indication that coronavirus 2.0, the one that we're currently being told to fear, may have been here for months or years untested. And every governor, every head of state, every part of the World Health Organization has been trying to tell us that, oh my gosh, infections are running rampant, conspicuously fails to tell you how many tests they've done. Because it turns out that if you test for a thing, you will statistically rarely find it. And we know that somewhere between 5 and 10% of the population will test positive for the presence of a fragment of coronavirus. Does that mean that this is a new virus? No. Does it mean it's a mutation of the one in 2002 and 2003 or the one in 2012 and 2013? No. It doesn't mean anything. It simply means we're now testing for something. And every single public health officer, every single governor, and every single head of state that says that coronavirus is running rampant is lying because they cannot handle the truth. And the truth is, we're not having an outbreak. We are testing for something we didn't test for before. And part of the reason why we didn't test for it before is because the CDC held and maintained a patent that kept people from testing for it. So it's not as though we can sit there going, well, people should have been testing. No, they couldn't test because the test was withheld because of a patent. So the issue that we have is a simple situation where the facts are being misreported because we don't know whether the bats in Northern Italy, whether the bats in New York, and whether the bats in Seattle also have a coronavirus similar to the alteration of the bats in Wuhan. Now, the reason why you haven't heard this, despite the fact that the researchers who were researching the chimeric coronavirus are the ones who gave me this data. They're the ones that actually found coronavirus mutations in bats in all of these locations. They're not talking about it because it would jeopardize the theoretical nature of this pandemic. We have to say it came out of Wuhan. We have to get a US-China story going because we need drama. But the fact of the matter is, there is not a shred of evidence that says that that is in fact the case. We know that the two researchers who are the experts on this coronavirus have been collaborating on chimeric coronavirus since 2016. We know that. So, do you believe, or should I believe, or should anybody believe that this is novel? No.
Just want all my viewers to know we've had to change cameras for David, so it may look like something has happened, and it did. So we'll carry on. Okay. Okay, David, so that's really been useful and helpful information to help us understand it. And really, this conversation is helping people to wake up. Well, we've been put into a stupor. We have been propagandized for a long time anyway. And if people are watching television or listening to the radio, reading the newspapers, which I don't do, so I am not stimulated by fear every hour on the hour, you know, right, or through the whole show, because it is a propaganda tool. And I know so many people are terrified. I just see how many people are wearing the masks. I mean, everything has changed in our societies. Everything has changed around the world, actually. What is the end game? What is the end game that this has initiated? Give us an understanding of where this is going to lead us if we don't wake up to the fact that it has been created. It has been created to be a pandemic situation requiring all these drastic measures for the purpose of enriching certain factions of our government, private industry. But is there more? Because this is taking away civil liberties. This is taking away freedom. This is taking away everything that we have known. And it's doing it around the world. It's a global shift.
Yes. There's a clear distinction that I think we need to make between opportunism and malevolent actors. So let's get the opportunists out of the way first. There is no question that the medical industrial complex is celebrating, as I said before, the removal of immunity and their impunity to do any research they want on the federal dime. That is potentially opportunism, and it is potentially malevolent. I would go as far as to say, for example, that the Sherlock Biosciences company out of the Northeast here in the U.S., which was funded by the organization that funded Event 201 and all of the scenario planning leading up to the pandemic, my guess is that they have something to do with something more than just opportunism. I think that they actually have some architecting roles in this. And I think the UNC Chapel Hill, CDC, NIAID collaboration, and the Gilead Sciences and the Moderna vaccine program, Johnson & Johnson, Sanofi, and a few others are probably in the architecture side of this. But that there's opportunists who take advantage of this thing. But then there are actual real malevolent actors. And there are a group of malevolent actors who have an enormous benefit from what's happening in this scenario. And they are the ones who ironically benefited from the global financial crisis in 2008. And that is the financial institutions that have received unbelievable benefit from creating a mass deflection, a mass kind of hypnosis that says that in the name of this public health crisis, massive funds are actually being directed to financial institutions, including life insurers and including banks. Now, when I say that, people sit there going, whoa, this is not about public health or anything else. But look very carefully. I'll give you an example. The payroll protection program that we saw passed by Congress, in that program, long before the program mentioned the value of supplying money so that people could get their paychecks, in the first couple lines of the authorization of that program, the actual description of the beneficiary was to make sure that life insurance premiums could be paid. You never heard that discussed. You never saw on any media outlet that before payroll was mentioned, life insurance beneficiaries were mentioned. You never saw mentioned that when the money had to pass through banks, what Congress was doing was creating assets for banks, because when debt is issued against companies, that creates assets on bank balance sheets. So as much as you want to be told, oh, Congress really did a great thing by making $3 trillion available for small business and business in the United States, that is absolutely false. What they did was they handed banks $3 trillion of debt. Those are assets that banks now hold over business. That is not an accident. And by the way, it's not an accident when it's written right into the authorization bill. The fact that life insurance and banks are ahead of the payroll of small business in the actual authorization means they are directly benefiting from and culpable for this action. And I can guarantee you, with no question at all, that those institutions, when they do not pay pensions, when they do not guarantee social programs like Medicare, Social Security, and others, when all of those promises to the American investing public fail, what those financial institutions are going to do is they're going to say, remember 2020? Remember when the world shut down? And they are going to be exonerated for their mismanagement of funds leading up to this. And they will use this event as the excuse that justifies the meltdown of the United States economy and the mismanagement and fiduciary irresponsibility of financial institutions. And if you want to know where my bet is on who architected all of this, there is no question that somewhere between a third and a half of this architecture came from financial institutions who knew they were heading towards insolvency, and they got a bailout under the guise of a public health global pandemic. Just like in 2008, banks got a bailout of their credit default swap abuses on mortgages and consumer loans that they mismanaged. And do you remember? Not a single bank executive and no rating agency had any culpability whatsoever. That playbook worked in 08, and it's working again. And we are going to be told, remember 2020.
David, are you saying that the financial institutions are so powerful that they have the ability to control this planet, to control through whatever means, lobbying or whoever, you know, congressmen, senators, institutions of all sorts globally to create an event of this magnitude?
I am saying without equivocation that banks and a few investment management firms and a few very wealthy individuals, largely who run hedge funds, have the ability to unleash anything on this planet with impunity. And I'm saying that because they have. Whether that is influencing elections, whether that is taking down governments, whether that is appropriating entire countries' resources so that the country is nothing but a puppet, and the idea of elected officials are nothing but puppets. I'm saying without question that the idea of a sovereign nation state has been taken over by a corporate and banking state, and that has been the case for a very long time. What we're seeing is the end of an illusion. And the illusion has been that we believe that our elected officials stand in our interest. But why is it that if you are a constitutional lawyer and you're in the state of Oregon, why is it that you are allowing a governor to declare that in restaurant seating is now a thing of the past. In Virginia, where just 2 minutes ago, our tyrannical governor is going to announce, according to his lackeys who have been running in front of him, that he's going to make face mask wearing a statute now, or at least an emergency declaration in Virginia. Where are any of the voices of people who actually would stand up and say enough? And here's the problem. The problem is you have one or two very notable and very, very reputable individuals who have used their professional and used their experience and used their legal background and used their corporate background to stand against this immense tide. But it is so few that it is a statistical anomaly. We do not have elected officials standing up for us, with the exception of a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of state house, state representatives, and state senators. We don't have anybody on the national scene doing it. We don't have any judges actually stepping in and making statements that declare the Constitution to be a fundamental inalienable right. We do not have that because the institutions that we have come to think are those controlled by democratic processes have been purchased. And we are watching the theater of politics being played on an off-Broadway pathetic theater.
So corruption is so deep, it has now permeated every aspect of life.
Which, as I said in my film American Revolution, is great. It's great because, as I said in American Revolution, this was an experiment. America was an experiment. And that's a great thing because, like I said in the film, experiments are for a reason.
We'll be back in a couple minutes and we'll discuss what we just heard. And Mike has some great information that may tie into all this. Stay tuned, folks.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is October 2nd. We just got done listening to a piece by David Martin. He's a gentleman out in California. He looks into several different issues. And, he's got a good team together that's fighting this virus issue, and it's a big con job, as he laid out there in the last 20 minutes of this clip I played. And I think I was most intrigued that someone else besides our panel here that we have on the program today believes that there's, you know, no hope for this government. It's sold out a long time ago. And I like his angle on who he thinks is behind this, and maybe what Mike has found ties in with what he was talking about a bit. Do you want to start into that, Mike?
Sure, LB. I find that there are quite a few connections here that was mentioned in that, but let's go back in history about 20 years. And let's look at the 2000 election and go deep into who were the major contributors to the campaigns 20 years ago. And let's look where the money came from. We know that in the year 2016, just 4 years ago, that over $6 billion was spent on campaigning for federal office in this country. And we know that the people who put up this money are the people who own those who are elected. The people do not own the people they vote for. Those Sure. people do not represent their interests. They represent the interest of the people who give them the mega millions they need to run for office. So Yes. if we go back and look at that and then jump forward to 2004, and look again at the contributors to that. Then we begin to see 2005, we are into a wars in Afghanistan, wars in Iraq. The country is suffering through red, white, and blue fever. The churches have billboards out, support Bush, support the troops. It is a mania that has overtaken the country and usually does during all military engagements. But let's take a look at another aspect. In 2005, John, I know you researched this quite a bit. Who was in control of the Senate, the House, and the presidency in 2005?
That would be... I mean, who are we talking about? The Republicans, like, well, the conservatives, like, or do you mean like what groups were controlled?
Well, it was the definitely the Republicans were in control. Do you remember who the Speaker of the House was?
Back in 2005.
Yeah.
Not offhand, no, surprisingly. Okay.
It was Dennis Hastert.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, 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 you're right. Okay, yes.
Who ended up serving time for pedophilia. And then we had the head of the Senate. The Senate Majority Leader was Bill Frist out of Tennessee. And the President of the United States, of course, was George W. Bush.
Yes.
So those three got together and proposed legislation. Hastert pushed it through the House. Frist pushed it through the Senate. And George Bush pushed it as president. And this was known as the PREP Act of 2005. Now, the PREP Act is an odious piece of legislation, and it has led to and facilitated much of what we are encountering in this country today. It facilitated the takeover of government through a pandemic. It facilitated the fact that these companies, as were mentioned before, could have unlimited resources from the federal government to produce products to fight a pandemic. It also was facilitated that the fact that all of these companies who are producing all of these things, even to include face masks, could face no liability if their products didn't work. This was one huge piece of legislation. And guess who fought it? The Democrats. Of course, that's the American paradigm. If one party brings up something, no matter how good or bad it is, the other party has to oppose it, because that keeps Bubas in his chair and keeps him rushing to the polls to vote. So it was opposed most vociferously by Edward Kennedy in the Senate. And he basically laid out where this thing was going to take us. And then the wonderful Republicans who controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency realized that if this bill went before the American public, there was no way in the world it would ever be passed. And so they could not leave it as a standalone piece of legislation. So considering the fact that this country was into war up to its eyeballs, this PREP Act was added to the National Defense Authorization Act, because as Frist said to several Senate cohorts, this piece of legislation would not pass on its own, and we know that, but there is no way in the world any member of Congress is going to vote against the military, not while we're at war. So the facilitation for the overtaking of state governments, the overtaking of the federal government, of shutting down the businesses, of putting into all of these pandemic measures, was facilitated by the PREP Act of 2005, completely and totally pushed through Congress by Republicans. Any thoughts, gentlemen?
Wow. That's a really good find, Mike, for sure.
Thanks, John. I thought it was especially going back and reading through some of the discussion. Of course, this act passed the U.S. Senate 93-0 with 7 abstentions, and no one voted against it, not even Kennedy. So that again, shows you they were fighting for effect for the ears of the American public. So not one senator voted against it. It was overwhelmingly passed in the House. And then again, to keep it from the eyes of the American public, it was placed into the National Defense Authorization Act, which, you know, constitutionally has to be run through the U.S. Congress every 2 years. The military has to be reauthorized. All use of the military has to be reauthorized every 2 years. But at the time, we were in a war in Afghanistan and in a war in Iraq. And did anybody really think someone was going to vote against the National Defense Authorization Act because it provided all of these facilities for the takeover of the United States government and the United States economy, and to also insulate all drug companies from any lawsuits? that might result from anything that they are that can be forced on the American public. To believe that this was not pre-planned and was laid out 15 years ago, to me, is just unbelievable.
I think it just builds to what they wanted anyway, as we've discussed over the months in the last year, that your research, Mike, said they wanted a nationalized government from day one. And the New World Order wants control of everything. So this all works together, I think, nicely in one package. And it's very sick the way they developed all this.
Well, no doubt, LB. And I noticed the gentleman, Martin, that you played the tape of, mentioned that the bankers were involved in this. Well, folks, the bankers were heavily involved in the Constitution of 1787. So there were no common people involved in the creation of the Constitution in 1787. So the bankers have been basically had their claws into this government from the get-go, from the time that the government took effect in 1789.
Right, right. That's one thing I think David Martin misses out on. He doesn't, I believe, in the world conspiracy of world communism like I do, or maybe we do, but he definitely sees what's going on the last, 30, 40 years, I'm sure. And, his point was, we missed it there. I miscued this by that clip by 2 minutes, but he said that it's a time to redo this whole thing. And I'm there. I've been there for a long time, but of course it's going to have to be gradual. But as I've been saying, that as everyone here knows, that the federal government was an enterprise, as you just alluded to, Mike, from day one. If we're to redo this, it's got to be on the people's, the American people's, their knowledge and their positions, not the elite.
Oh, for sure. Hey, Scorpio, what do you think about this fine?
Hope we didn't lose.
Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting. The only thing I would add to, what that guy was saying on the clip is that this is a lot more than a bailout. This is going to be the complete takeover of the entire economy.
Yeah.
The only things that are going to be left standing when this is over is going to be major corporations and the government. Even medium-sized corporations are in serious trouble. Only the people that have the access to the dole-outs from the bankers will survive this economically.
Right. Yeah, that's what I believe he missed, too. I don't think he understands this. This ties into a long plot. I don't know if he totally understands that or not.
Well, what's just one last quick thing? What's interesting is if you listen to the New Order of the Barbarians tapes that were recorded in 1989, this guy, this Richard Day, Dr. Day, actually admits that a medical tyranny was part of the plan, and that hospitals would become very different places in the future.
Hmm.
Well, guys,
everything's going to be different.
Yeah, I think it's critical that we actually understand that what we are evolving to is a complete socialist economy. And, of course, the definition of that is the government owns and controls the means of production. Well, actually, that's a little off. The people who own the government own the means of production. And even under socialism, personal property is sometimes allowed, but only in the form of consumer goods. So the people who argue, no, it can't be socialism, as soon as politicians start yelling, we will never be socialist, then that is the time to realize that we are socialist, or they wouldn't be trying to deceive you that way.
Well, I'm pretty much determined that the citizenship based on even the state, not just the federal government, is socialist, because that's where they tie you into private law, a of statutes. And as anyone that studies constitutional law and history of America, that we're supposed to be under the societal law of the common law. And when you're a citizen, that's how they hook you into accepting all the private law of the municipality, and the states were always municipalities. Of course, the 14th Amendment sucked everyone into the municipality called Washington, D.C., and they're, you know, controlled by Congress, you know, through the laws of Congress. So, yeah, it's very deep, and you know, the deception just makes me sick.
Hey, John.
How they got everyone deceived.
A question, John. How will the fact that the Republicans played such a huge part in bringing this all about in 2005, how's that going to play with the wonderful conservative gang?
I don't think they're going to like it very much, Mr. Gaddy, even though they'll say, well, that's just the neocon conservatives, the bad conservatives. But that's not the Trumpians. You know, that's not the one that throw their lot in with Trump. So those conservatives aren't really part of the Republican system. You know, they kind of look at it that way. The QAnon people, you know, they cast their hate on John McCain. They have a love-hate relationship with his best friend, Lindsey Graham. You know, they hate Lindsey Graham when he's a warmonger and when he was up John McCain's butt. But they love him when he's, you know, bringing the documents forth and going after people in Operation Crossfire Hurricane, where Obama was and the deep state was spying on Trump's family and at large, which is true. It happened. But, you know, it doesn't mean it's the end all be all thing that Trump's our guy and we should trust him because of it. They all spy on each other. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just very interesting. I don't think they're going to like this information very much.
Should the
Spaghetti, or maybe they will, because they're deep swamp Republicans like Denny Hastert. He's part of it. So, you know, who cares?
Should the Republicans change their official name to Schizophrenics R Us?
Yes, I call them the conservatives, is where they really trying to conserve.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are. You know, the conservatives technically are, you know, classical liberals, and the Democrats are, you know, communist socialist progressives, and neither one of them are really truly on the right. They're just slightly on the left and very much far left. And I'm talking about, you know, the Republicans that are in power in the Senate and the House of Representatives, and even, you know, some on the Supreme Court, like Brett Kavanaugh. You know, Brett Kavanaugh, interestingly enough, he keeps ruling with those liberal justices. Happens quite frequently. And again, he helped to cover up the Vince Foster murder, and he's in the pocket of the Clintons. So colored me shocked, I guess, that a Jesuit trained Kavanaugh wouldn't rule with the conservatives on the Supreme Court. But, you know,
The bottom line is this thing's just corrupt, and they've got everyone divided into labels that are just basically don't matter. And I've been saying that a long time.
Well, LB, there are a couple of things that I would like to recent things that were provided by this PREP Act in 2005, just a few of them I would like to read. It says that one of the recent declarations to the PREP Act was COVID-19 medical countermeasure effective February 4th, 2020, amended April 10th, 2020 to add countermeasures pursuant to the CARES Act. COVID-19 medical countermeasures effective February 4th, 2020, amended April 10th, as I said. And then advisory opinion on PREP Act declaration, advisory opinion 0202 on the PREP Act and the Secretary's declaration under the Act, Second Amendment to declaration under the PREP Act for medical countermeasures against COVID-19, the Third Amendment to declaration under the PREP Act for medical countermeasures. So this, there is no doubt that this PREP Act, passed surreptitiously in 2005, is the very instrument they are writing to all of these shutdowns and all of the protections.
Which gets back to what you told me when you talked to me the other day about the information you found, is that they laid the groundwork for this, you know, at least 15 years ago. But I think they've been planning for some kind of epidemic or virus scare for 30 years because of the movies, you know, the predictive programming, as some people call it. I think they put it in their arsenal as far as mind control a long, long time ago.
Well, I remember a countermeasure when I was in the oxymoronic field of government intelligence. I remember the adage at the time was, hey, let's run this thing up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Yeah. It's funny how they have the two parties, for lack of better words, divided. Biden and the Democrats are all wearing their mask, even in their car while they're alone, while the Republicans are fighting it, you know, totally, it seems.
Well, just as a... just as a thought, gentlemen, how much money do you think has been generated on the production of masks in the past 7 months?
Oh.
Millions. Billions?
Billions, probably.
So some PPE?
Do you think they might have been ready for this? There seems to have been no backlog of availability for masks.
Oh, speaking of that, I saw a clip on Fossey, you know, it was based on the debates and why there should be masks and shouldn't be masks. And it just fits into what you said of being ridiculous, or what we heard from David Martin and what you've discovered, that they knew about this way ahead of time. And, you know, Fossey said, well, you don't need to wear the mask. And then all of a sudden, a little bit later, a month later, he says, you better be wearing masks. But the reason he said they didn't want people wearing masks up front, it's so the medical industry had plenty supply of masks, which is basically a total lie.
Well, exactly. And look at all, as Martin mentioned, look, the governor of Virginia has now basically said that you have to wear a mask anywhere that you are. And if you will remember, in a campaign speech, Mr. Biden said the same thing. Mask will be mandatory if he is elected for everyone in every circumstance, in every situation. And what they're doing is they are just guaranteeing, they know they don't work. It doesn't make any difference whether they work or not. But what they are doing is creating a market for those who gave them campaign contributions and have been for decades.
Well, and it's a sign of it's a symbol or a talisman of subservience, the mask is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that Trump is tested positive, supposedly,
yeah,
I think it's going to be a thing they're going to use in the future. Anyone that steps out of line in any way is going to test positive, and you're going to have to be isolated for 2 weeks, pal. That's it.
Oh, Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, has now tested positive. Looks like if more Republicans keep testing positive, then looks like Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat being taken over by Amy Comey Barrett may not happen if the Senate is unable to confirm her. If there are enough Republicans who are under quarantine. So,
good point. That's a good point, John. And now Trump cannot campaign anymore for at least 2 weeks, and he's going to miss the second debate, which is all very convenient, in my opinion.
Someone in the chat said democracy is dead. Democracy is code word for communism, in my book. You know, or what I believe.
Well, it was also Karl Marx's code word for communism.
Yeah.
Marx said that democracy is the first step to communism.
Right. So, I don't know. It's just a mess at this point. You know, like we said.
We're a republic. We're a representative republic anyway.
Yeah, it's a representative democracy is the technical or legal term for it.
Well, democracy is not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution.
No, it's not. No, no, you're right. The words don't appear. But
and those wonderful founders, John Adams said there never was a democracy that didn't commit suicide. Thomas Jefferson said democracy is mob rule. And Benjamin Franklin said democracy is two wolves and a chicken deciding what's for dinner.
Yeah, it's just bad all the way around. And I've heard through the years of research that a benevolent dictator is the best kind of government you can have. But where are you going to find one of those these days? It seems like everyone's, you know, out for a buck and sells out.
Well, history shows and it proves beyond a fact that the wealthy aristocracy or the rich and well-born, as Alexander Hamilton referred to them, have always ruled. They're always in control, and they always use the common working man as the platform for their schemes and plans and programs.
Right.
And so they always take over government. It doesn't make any difference what kind of government you form. If you can't keep the wealthy and the well-born out of that government, you're pretty well shot as a common citizen.
Well, what we have is the synagogue of Satan running in the background since day one, and I believe they're behind everything that's wrong. And I listened to a clip on Beck, I think it was this morning, and he's trying to blame everything on Soros, and he's nothing but a front man for the synagogue of Satan. So Beck is still shilling for the Zionists to cover up their involvement in all this. Which is very sad because.
And
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mr. Brooke. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Not to say that Soros isn't guilty of numerous crimes. However, I do believe that he's like a lightning rod and that the Republicans, you know, the main, like, when did we start trusting Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity? And Glenn Beck, you know, Glenn Beck was a never Trumper. If you people who still believe in the God Emperor Trump, don't forget that he was a never Trumper, and he finally switched, you know, towards the very end and afterwards.
Yeah.
So don't forget that. But you know, I mean, you know, Glenn Beck's got ties to Council for National Policy. He's a staunch Mormon. Doesn't surprise me he's blaming everything on Soros.
Sure, we got a break, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back in a few minutes after these station announcements. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
When enough
anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is October 2nd already. And what a mess we have going on in the United States of America and the world. We're talking about the Corona scam today and how it was built up to do what it's doing. Played a clip by Mr. David Martin last hour, and I think he had a lot of good points. That's the reason I wanted to bring it up. And his last comments were controlled by corporate greed, and it's time to basically change that. And I've been on that path for 20 years or more since I've learned the truth. And we have a lot of work to do. Anyway, with me today, I have Mike Gaddy and Dave Scorpio and John Breeson. So that's the panel today, and I appreciate you guys bringing something to the table here, because this is kind of like a round table. And Mike brought some interesting facts up last hour, which ties into what I believe. I think, as it appears, they're throwing the Democrats under the bus right now. And he basically laid out that the Republicans are the problem. But as we all know, the Republicans are the original Communist Party. As we've talked about a bit, the radical Republicans set the system up after the Civil War. And here's a quote, because of the new judge that's coming into existence, everyone's afraid of the Roe v. Wade case. And it's one of the quotes from the court I used from 1973 out of Roe v. Wade, one of their statements that I really appreciate, because it's very telling in what they say. And I'm just going to quote it here so it gives some foundation for people's understanding and maybe some of the discussion the next hour. The court said, in this country, the law in effect in all but a few states until the mid-19th century was the pre-existing English common law. It was not until after the war between the states that legislation began generally to replace the common law. And I brought this up on the podcast with John last night, and I made a mistake thinking I said the 1950s is when they really started to change things. But that being true, I looked at 19th century wrong. 19th century, of course, means 1850, and that's basically when they said the common law was being done away with. And it was slowly done based on something that John has discovered through his research and understanding, based on Fabian socialism. And my point's been that it's been more of a Russian type communism, but it's been done slowly, which he has a good point. You want to mute your mic, John?
Yes, sir, but I thought I was muted. Certainly.
Yeah. But the dictates we're seeing right now under these protests and riots is more Marxism based on the Communist Manifesto of force, and that's what they're trying to sell us today on, is what's going on, and even Glenn Beck's doing it, that the communists are taking over. Well, they did that during the Civil War, and it took them 100 years to get all the planks applied in much of the dogma of the Communist Manifesto. So that's another thing that's going on with this COVID and at this time in history for America, is they're covering up that America is already communist. And these dog and pony shows that are going on right now, there's just a plethora of things going on right now that are confusing people to cover up their criminal activity for the last 150 years or even 230 years, as Mike would like to believe or say, or need not believe, he's right. This has been planned a long time. So anyway, yeah, they basically did away with the common law, but it's still there. There's a law maxim that I like to live off or by. It says the law sometimes sleeps but never dies. They made it die with their, propaganda and mind control, but it's still there. And we need to start pulling together to fix this, or it's going to go away. Like I was explaining to John yesterday, it's very important to know what I have been teaching for 20 years, because if they do decide to put a new constitution in place, it's going to be, they're going to get away with it. And my position is criminals or incompetent people that would be doing this, like every legislature, everyone in government right now is either guilty of treason or they're totally incompetent. So they have no business governing a new system. They have no business doing it at all. And like Mike and I have discussed, we're kind of calling ourselves the anti-socialist, just like the anti-federalist back then. And if people don't get their act together and start understanding these things, they're going to get away with it even worse or more than they did 230 years ago. So that's all I have to say. Mike, do you want to pick it up here? Or John, we left off with you. Did you have anything to say?
Not any further. Go ahead, Mike.
One of the things I think, gentlemen, that we overlook, and I think it's been overlooked by almost everyone, myself included, is the mindset that has to be created amongst a society to condition them to accept what we have been accepting. And everyone knows who has spent any time listening to me at all knows that I am no fan of James Madison. But to use my grandfather's adage that even a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while, I believe that, and I would like to apply this to the circumstances that we're in today, because we have been at continuous war for 19 years. And there are people who will tell you that that condition does not affect society at all, and they would be 100% wrong. And yes. Madison touched on it, and I would like to read his short quote. And I would like for you to think about this, gentlemen, as we think about what the American people have grown to accept in the last 19 years of continuous warfare, and even drop back to the Vietnam War and drop back to Desert Storm and those others, the things that society will accept during the time of war. And here is Madison's comment. Of all of the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. and armies and debts and taxes are the known instrument for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too, the discretionary powers of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect in republicanism may be traced in the inequality of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war, and in the degeneracy of manners and of morals engendered by both. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare, unquote. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, you know, as I just kind of mentioned, I think we've been at war for 150 years. I mean, they started this brainwashing back then. Francis Bellamy, for example, with his Pledge of Allegiance, which has been gradually upgraded by the Congress. They started brainwashing people of America that the United States is a country under that the pledge, and it's not. And my research shows that they stole, as a matter of presumption or law, that they wanted to take people's allegiance to their states away after the Civil War. And that's shown in an act of Congress called Right of Americans in Foreign States. And the foreign states are relating to or referencing are the states themselves, the several states. So I like what he said, but I just have to say it's been going on a long time, the brainwashing and the conditioning.
Well, I'm not arguing that point, LB. What I am saying is let's look at what he said, and I believe it to be totally true. Look at the words for what they say.
Right.
He said, because war comprises and develops the germ of every other point. And we've got a people who have been conditioned over 19 years to accept the domination of the executive branch of government. And this has become a mindset among the people which allows whoever the executive is, the executive branch, to do anything they want to inside or outside the confines of any constitution or written law. Yes. Under war, you accept a dictator. You accept someone who directs every facet of your life. Randolph Bourne got into great detail with that when he said war is the health of the state. And a war gives domination of the government over the people, and that is the very reason we've been at war for 19 years.
Well, they've been using executive orders and such, even in the COVID crisis, whatever you want to call it, the last several months, the governors have been using executive orders to shut things down. But if we look at what they have planned, they planned it, each state being a country. They want to form totalitarian dictatorships in each country of the world for their world communist program. So this is just a taste of that power you're talking about, that they've been conditioning people for the last 19 years. But they're doing it, and it's against the law. It's unlawful. They can't do it unless people accept it. And it's been a slowly cooked frog situation. It has been, you know, that's my point, I guess. And again, these people, because they've done this in deception, they have no business forming any form of new government for us, because they're frauds or criminals or incompetent. So people have to get that through their minds that it's not going to happen again. We can't let it happen again. So any comments, Dave? You've been pretty quiet today.
Well, going back to what Mike was reading from, there's no question that war is the most transformative tool that these people have in their toolbox. It can absolutely change people's perception of everything. and redraw borders, completely discard old social norms. And it's a very powerful tool. And I expect more to be coming. I think that we're being set up for a major war coming in the near future.
Yeah, I think so. I was downtown yesterday and went to one of the stores, and they had the so-called Black Lives Matter logo in their window. And these people are liberals, you know, basically. You know, a couple of the owners were ex-cops, actually, that own this. It's a, you know, I don't know. It's a, what do you call it, co-op type thing, and it deals with organic or local goods, which is a good thing, okay? That's what we really have to get back to, but they bought totally into this Black Lives Matter crap, and they have the commie fists painted on their window. And I told the girl, I go, oh, you guys are communists now? And of course she got really upset with me. And my point to that whole story is these people are totally lost. They don't understand. They don't do the research, and it's right out there, and it's easy to find. Tons of videos on it. Mr. Reagan, Christopher, did a nice piece on Black Lives Matter, and he goes back and discusses that the founders of Black Lives Matter are communists. So all this subtle programming just puts us in a bad place. I mean, here we are, a small panel of four guys, and I guarantee you that less than 1% of the truth movement even know these things, I believe. Maybe I just made that figure up, but people don't get it. I mean, even the station uses a commie fist. And, you know, they're about freedom and stuff, but no one knows anything about history, and they don't investigate it. That's my point. And that's what we're stuck with today. A totally you just said it yourself, Dave. It's bad, and it's going to create war, unfortunately. And it's too bad. John, do you have anything to add to what we just talked about?
No, I agree with you guys. It's just a continue. We're going to see now more and more people test positive for COVID, likely Republicans.
Right.
And Biden's just tested negative, you guys. It's because he's been doing all that hand washing and wearing his mask.
So. Yeah, or whatever. I don't trust what these people say. I don't trust anything. They're liars and frauds. And like I said, I think it was on my Tuesday show, I go, if you look at who took presidential office for the first two terms after the Civil War was General Grant. And he's notorious for being having grafting corruption in his two terms in office. So that was the two first terms after the Civil War with 14th Amendment system. That's the foundation for this government, folks. So I don't trust these people as far as you can pick them up and throw anything that relates to it. They're liars and frauds. Deceivers. Does anyone disagree or want to keep quiet to not get in trouble?
I just don't know where we're at, you know. You know,
we're in deep trouble.
No one's gonna be held accountable, you know.
Well, look at what Mike brought up. You know, they pass these things and exempt themselves from liability. You know, that's how they operate.
Well, yeah, and we're heading for a system where. This COVID test thing can be used as a weapon against anybody that isn't behaving properly. So I think this is all just beginning.
There is a law that some of the people in California are using against these the people. They're declaring an emergency when there isn't one. And basically that's what's going on with this COVID. It's not technically an emergency. And there's federal statutes that can be used against them. But none of these people out there. I've been trying to put law groups together for, 20 years, and people aren't interested in it. All they want to do is talk about if Biden's wearing his mask or what Trump did, or, it's just all gossip. No one's interested in getting down and getting busy and using, their own system against them. And it works well if you know how to do it. And, if you look at the mission statement I put together, I put, I stole something from Hamilton. Of course, he was a shyster too, and just saying things that he thought were proper, but their intent was a lot different. But he said wars and rebellions are the two most, societal diseases. I pretty much mocked that based on we're about education and peace and not war. And the reason I use that is because what's coming. I've been trying to stop that. But people aren't interested in being educated, so I guess we'll have to put up with a bloody war or destruction or whatever these people have planned based on orchestration and manipulation.
Color revolution.
Colored revolution. You want to describe that? I heard you use that the other day. Is that the race wars? You're talking
about? No, not color as in race.
Oh, color, like color of law, so to speak?
Color as in like different movements overthrowing different countries. Like you have the Bolsheviks and China and the Balkans. Like they call them I think the Ukraine was the Orange Revolution in 2004. And so it's different revolutions are symbolized by colors. So, okay. And they're usually ran by non-government organizations, NGOs, and student activists. And George Soros has funded a lot of the modern ones.
Yeah, private manipulation, mind control. Just like Francis Bellamy did the Pledge of Allegiance, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That has an interesting story to it. It's one of the pieces I picked up on. I think every good patriot that does his own research finds that, It took place soon after the Civil War.
So who do you think is going to test positive next? You guys got any ideas? I got to keep the charade up somehow.
Right. But you're sure, Dave, that Biden is tested negative according to what they say?
No, he has. It's been reported in multiple – Dave's right. It's been reported in multiple places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, if we get Biden in office, then we'll have everyone wear masks all the time until the process is complete.
Yeah, John and I are still of the opinion that Trump's going to win. But we'll see.
We'll see. What just happened today, I think, is indication that Trump is in serious trouble, whether you like him or not. And he's not going to be able to campaign for at least 2 weeks. He's going to miss the next debate. And he's not going to have any more, giant rallies with 20, 30,000 people at him. So this is a bad turn of events for Trump winning the election, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did kind of shut that down with this nonsense, didn't they?
Well, the one thing we know for sure, gentlemen, is that if the Democrats steal the election and do everything they want to, there will be no reaction from the conservative Republicans, because their plan, and has been for decades, is to sit on their ass and wait for the next election.
Yeah. You're talking about exactly. The voters? You're talking about the voters, Mike?
I'm talking about the Republicans who call themselves conservatives. They will never do anything that takes any effort any more than going down to the polls. They're not going to ever stand up for anything. The only people who will be willing to take to the streets are the socialists. The right. So-called conservatives, they might stand up in defense if attacked, but they will never go on the initiative for liberty or freedom. It's just never going to happen. We have to live with that.
Boo-hoo.
When have we ever seen in our lifetimes, when have we ever seen conservatives take to the streets to accomplish or to defend liberty and freedom? It hasn't happened because ingrained into their mind, the only true path to liberty and freedom is the ballot box. They can't see it any other way.
Yeah, the last 150 years at least, but they did fight for the American Revolution, so-called. But you're right.
None of those people left, LB. There are no people left who actually believed in the fact that freedom was worth fighting for.
Yeah.
That's been bred out of the conservative mindset.
Oh, Bibi Netanyahu might be losing.
Moment of silence.
Bibi Netanyahu might be losing more power in Israel because he said if the lockdown doesn't work and the numbers don't start dropping, then it will be even more strict.
You mean in Israel?
Yeah.
I wanted to clarify that he wasn't making comment about the United States. Not that he technically does have some control, but
being part of the shadow government. If he's making a statement for the international bankers, it covers the United States.
Sure. Like I just related, he is part of the shadow government, being of the tribe. Anyway, Lenin said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. So he only needed 4 years, and they've sure done a job on the children of America the last 20, if not more. So it fits in line with what Mike just said. Anyway, we've got one segment left. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned.
From now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name is LB Bork. Have with me today on the panel, John Breeson, Mike Gaddy, and Dave Scorpio. Hope you're all doing well. Been talking about the COVID nightmare. This October 2nd edition. Things are a real mess, and we got it. You want to mute?
And it's not working, and I guess I need to restart the
laptop. Thank you. Excuse me, now I'm coughing up a storm. But anyway, like Mike said during the break there, this is listener supported. We could use your donations. Speaking of which, I got something to say about that based on what Mike said last hour or last half hour. But if you go to the website, freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, you can find the donation button at the top of the page. Hit that or try Patreon or even snail mail, which, geez, that's gone out of fashion pretty quick in the last 3 years. But there's an address at the bottom of the page, the main page I just mentioned. You can mail in a check or money order to Terry in Michigan, and the address is there. But also we have the chat room. You can join us there. There's about 30 people in there right now. All the usual suspects, all good friends of Revolution Radio. I think they do a good job on spreading the message throughout the movement, such as it is. Anyway, this last segment, I don't know what we want to get into, maybe remedies or thoughts. One thought I had, I just saw a group that was out in California, and they've actually used the law to get, like, I think four establishments to stop mandating masks be worn in their store. And I think one was Home Depot that I saw. And I don't know what's going to happen with this Trump thing. They keep escalating the nonsense, so it's going to be harder and harder if they keep this up. Someone in chat I noticed mentioned that said there's going to be another lockdown, as he stated. And that's a very, very well a possibility, because these clowns are just evil. And as we discussed the first hour, that this thing's all orchestrated, and it's just evil what they've done. And I believe there's hope in that regard if people would just get off their butts. And that's the problem. And related to what Mike said about the left or the revolutionaries or whatever they think they are, rioters. It seems like they always get things done and even do stupid things to get put in prison. Well, you know, they get that's one of the telling signs of what's going on. If they get put in prison or jail or, you know, whatever the case may be, they can get a GoFundMe get put up. You know, they have someone support or sponsor a GoFundMe, and they get all kinds of donations. But anyone with so-called conservative views or whatever, they put a GoFundMe up, and they'll take him down. You know, it's totally biased. The whole social media system is messed up. Of course, Congress right now is saying they're going to take care of it, but I really don't see that happening. It's up to people to do things. I've been telling people they have to get off those platforms for years now. I never wanted to go on Facebook myself. I was forced to go into it because of it was basically just misrepresentation of myself. So I had to go in and take care of it. I'm just very adverse or just down on social media. Not for that reason, but it's just a distraction. It's a total nightmare. And, of course, we know who is behind all that. Anyway, does anyone have something to add to what we might want to talk about this segment? You got about 20 minutes left. Speak up or forever hold your peace.
Hey, Dave, tell them about the program tomorrow and what we're going to discuss.
Yeah, tomorrow Mike's going to bring forward some very interesting information about this Estes Park meetings. I think it happened in 1986, Mike, is that right? Or 89?
87.
And basically where the national parks were deeded over to the United Nations. And we're going to go deep into this and its repercussions as well.
Well, what happened with that meeting and would you believe the Rothschilds actually attended this meeting in Colorado in 87? It was created to turn over 30% of the landmass on this planet over to the international bankers for collateral on the debt. It will be fun, folks, I promise.
And that's Sunday night, not tomorrow night, Mike. I believe.
No, it's tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow.
It's your program.
Come on my show. Yeah,
it's on your program.
Tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't think that. I know Mike has his show on Sunday nights. I didn't know he was appearing on yours. You changed the name of it, by the way, I noticed. What are you calling your program now, Scorpio?
Just Operation Scorpio now because, having the name Conspiracy actually in the name makes it easier to tag and take down. This way it's a little more, you know, amorphous right. As to what I'm up to.
Yeah, it's a good idea, I suppose. Yeah, that conspiracy theory thing they came up with. Mike knows about when they came up with that, don't you, Mike? It was back in the 60s
the CIA?
They developed that. Yes. That's
those Christians in action?
Fake Christians. that's why I don't like to be a Christian. I go by follower of Yeshua.
Well, that moniker for the CIA came about in Vietnam. It might have happened earlier, but the CIA basically ran the Vietnam War. Anyone who had any knowledge at all knows that happened, like they run every other war that we're involved in. But the CIA operatives in so many headquarters, especially in Benoit and a couple of other places, they were always jokingly referred to as the Christians in action.
Yes. Great. Back to what your program's about.
I've always heard Catholics in action. I just want to get that in there.
Oh, Yeah, I suppose you could separate it like that. But like I've said about the Catholics, if I had my druthers between what's going on now and what was happening back in maybe the 60s or 50s either, anyway, I'd rather have the Catholics under control right now than what's this crap that's going on. Of course, we all know that they're, you know, basically in this transition, involved in the Vatican anyway, especially with Pope Francis. He's a hidden hander, just like Cruz is of Texas, Ted Cruz, and Karl Marx was. You know, there's a bunch of people in history that put this world communist thing together. So, yeah, I don't trust many of these people.
Well, guys, let's not fail to make the connection here that the keynote speaker in 1987, where the world bankers gathered, including the Rothschilds, the keynote speaker was that wonderful Republican conservative who was Secretary of State. Let me see. What was his name? Good friend of the Bushes. Help me out here, John. I'm having a brain cramp.
There's been many compadres.
I apologize. I'm having a brain cramp at the moment. James Baker. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah, James Baker. Okay. Yeah, Bohemian Club member.
Yeah, and he was the keynote speaker there with, you know, rubbing elbows with all of the international bankers. And he was the one who made, you know, that America would embrace this turning over of the many plots of valuable land to the bankers for their so they would have the collateral for the national debts.
Yeah, the alleged national debt. See, that's my position, and I wrote it into my book. They put it in Section 4 of the 14th Amendment that all debt is illegal and void. So if these people would get away from their socialism and start working together instead of being silent, like you mentioned, Mike, that was my point about the conservatives. You can't get a penny out of these people, and they just want to go and vote, you know. But the these liberals and stuff can get all kinds of funding, you know, to trash Brett Kavanaugh, et cetera, et cetera. Anything they want to do, they bring down millions of dollars, but you can't get anything out of these Republican types or conservative types for funding a project. It's ridiculous. But that gets into what I'm saying is saying in regard to everything these Rothschilds have done has been fraud and orchestrated, and it could be contested. But no one's doing it. No one. And it pisses me off. Sit on your frickin' hands and do nothing. I'm getting fed up with it. Sorry, man.
Well, you know, they said that the dollar is held in power through Marines and F-16s. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. Mike, I wanted to ask you, this Estes Park meeting, I don't want to give away too much because I'm really looking forward to your presentation, but where did the meeting actually happen? I mean, what facility was it held in?
Well, Dave, this was a meeting that was within a meeting, and it had to be camouflaged, and it was a huge environmental meeting that was held in Denver. In 1987, where they talked about, you know, tree hugging and all of the wonderful environmental stuff, some of which is valid, but they had a huge environmental meeting, and to mask or camouflage their intentions of the bankers who were also there, and then they pulled their meeting over to Estes Park outside of Denver. So that was the purpose, and we'll get into a lot of good detail on that tomorrow, Dave.
I'm sure it was on the nightly news.
Surely you jest.
Surely I do. But that gets back to what I was saying a minute ago. These guys have done everything in secret and it could, should be contested. How many lawyers are in the United States that could be working on this?
Too many.
And they're not doing shit. Excuse me. And I'm tired of it. And as far as the force, yeah, that's what they use against other countries. But I still believe the law is paramount in getting things accomplished properly.
LB, the law schools are the bastions of socialism.
Look, I know
the
that.
Professors, how can you expect a socialist to attack socialism? It's never going to happen.
Well, then I guess we get the F-16s visiting the Rothschilds. But that's not going to happen either, because everyone's a traitor and a sellout. So where does that put the world?
Screwed. But they can go to their graves with the consolation of they got to vote.
Vote harder, folks. Idiots. Unbelievable. Oh, by the way, it's a crime to vote. It says so in Section 2. And then, you know, everyone's argued for 20 years over that, and they go, it doesn't say that. And I go, oh, really? Have you written papers and a book on it? Or does your, it doesn't say that, trump my work? Or the existence being a fact that it does say that? My point is, people are idiots. They believe what they want to believe. And that's the main problem for everything. Every problem we have, people are easily persuaded into believing falsities. It's ridiculous. And the COVID-19 program is just one example, and it's an extreme example. And like I said earlier, last hour, that I don't trust any figures I've heard from these people. The thing in law is, if there's no evidence, it doesn't exist. And like I said about this governmental system having a foundation of grafting corruption, and the media, for sure, look at the crap they pull these days. They can't be trusted. So I don't trust anything that's out there. It's all fraud.
The wonderful world of fraud. It's been designed that way to push propaganda.
Yep.
Very much so. I mean, that's definitely how it is. You know, but then again, with propaganda, for it to work on the masses,
exactly,
there has to be at least a little bit of truth, a hint of truth. Because if it's complete 100% BS, most people will discard it. But then again, in the postmodern, modern, you know, truth movement that we live in, well, people believe in things like space doesn't exist. So, you know. No one's ever died in wars. I want to make that known. There's someone who's actually pushing that. No one's ever died in a war. And if you said you died in a war, then you're just covering up for the satanic cabal.
Well, and the beauty of this whole COVID testing thing, you know, it doesn't matter if you have any symptoms or not. That's irrelevant. What matters is that you tested positive. Therefore, you're a potential super spreader and you have to be isolated. And you know, these tests are being misused. They were never intended to diagnose any kind of diseases. And you know, the original intent of the test was to be replicated about 10 times to get a result. With the test that they're using for COVID, they're replicating the material 40 times. So if you've ever had a flu shot or had a cold or a flu recently, you're going to test positive.
Yeah, that's what David Martin said. There's different strains of it. And everyone has maybe some strain of it dormant in their system.
Well, coronavirus is the common cold, the common flu.
Yes. So it's all nonsense.
No, I got to correct that. No, there is some misinformation there. Not on purpose, though. The coronavirus is only about 10% of the cases of the common cold. Rhinovirus is the main viral agent of the common cold, and flu is caused by influenza. So there are distinct differences in their clinical presentation. Now, the long list of symptoms that they have with this specific novel coronavirus, you know, which my belief it was engineered in a lab. Yeah, some of it's exaggerating when they're like, you can have COVID if you have all the symptoms in the world. You know, it's not necessarily true in that regard. But, you know, all of us have had coronaviruses from time to time. They're endemic in nature. They cause us different symptoms, you know, generally than the common cold, in that it's more in your chest, where the rhinovirus is usually more in your face as far as your nasal passages are concerned. There is a difference. But the exaggeration and the bullcrap that's being put out there for us to muddy the waters on this specific strain is definitely out there by far.
So we got about 5 minutes left. I just want to reiterate about everything you people are seeing right now. You deserve, because you haven't done anything about it in your parents, grandparents, whatever. You put up with fraud and deception, and you're getting what you deserve. So what can we say? And you're still not going to do anything about it. There's a very few people out there that are trying to do something about it. And like Mike said, voting's not going to do it. Except dig in deeper, you know. And by the way, John, I fell for the voting situation too in the 90s, but I registered but never voted because they sucked me in. So, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the propaganda, as you said. And the dog and pony shows are putting on today even. I wouldn't doubt if they have more people registered to vote for this election than anyone ever before. Because of the crap they pulled.
You got to vote to make sure your voice is heard.
Well, guys, here was something I found very unusual, and I think this is going to be indicative, which is going to lead to the mass chaos after the election. 2 days ago, I received an email from the state of New Mexico, where I haven't lived in 15 years, asking me if I wanted an absentee ballot.
That since the census people, too, I told to take a hike, too.
I can say to that, it seems about right. So the census people, all I did was give them the information that's required by law, which is just, how many people are in the house?
No, I didn't even do that because this government's illegitimate and they're totally fraud. It's fraud what they're doing. So I just don't, I'm not filling out anything.
Well, I got the census taker to take their mask off because they came to the door and they kept talking. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And they said it again. I said, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And I said it four times. He finally got frustrated, pulled down his mask, and he said, okay, now can you hear me? And I said, yeah, I gave it the office and closed the door.
Yeah, they left a slip with the number on it for me, but I just stamped it, refused for legal cause, and left it outside for them. I don't participate in deception and fraud, sorry. But, you know, everyone could be doing that, but they don't listen. They won't get their check from the government. That's not socialist-based, right? Everyone's pretty quiet this half hour. What's going on here? It's pretty somber.
Demoralized, man. I don't want to say this before.
Way to go, John. You nailed it.
I guess I can keep trusting the plan, right, and go put my vote in for Trump because he's going to save us from a communism and socialism and creepy Joe, Uncle Joe Biden. So I guess I could just go that, right? I mean, I've been told, you know, a not voting is a vote for Biden. So.
Oh, is it?
That's what people are saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, always remember that no matter who you vote for, the government gets elected.
That's right. I've upped that one or changed it. No matter who you
that's
vote
the
for,
big
communism
right there,
gets in.
Got it. You nailed it right there, man. That's
yeah,
the
very
big
much
picture.
So. Yeah.
no matter who you vote for, communism wins or gets in office. So.
Well, wasn't it Mark Twain who said if voting would change anything, they'd make it illegal?
It is illegal. I'm awful. Anyway.
They make people participate in it as a ritual of the masses to get them to put all their energy and make them think that they're doing something when they're not doing anything at all.
Well, sitting on your ass and jumping up every 2 years and running to the polls is a coward's way out, guys. We have to accept that. And we have to accept the fact that the majority of people who claim to be true patriots are simple cowards.
Yep, it's all false. Anyway, we're out of time, guys. Thank you so much for participating today, even though it was demoralizing. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned for something else coming up on Revolution Radio. I can't tell you what it is, but join Scorpio and Mike tomorrow afternoon on his program, Mike Sunday night. And I'm here next Tuesday with Ultimate Remedy. And you can see John or join John. He's almost on every night of the week on we've read the documents on YouTube. Look him up. Have a good weekend, folks. Be safe out there. Take care.
Listening to Revolution Radio.